Hi, I'm Sherry Williams, and together with my husband, Dr. Ed Williams, we're on a mission helping women feel beautiful and confident at every age. We've been married for 22 years, and one of the most amazing things we've done together is raise four beautiful kids. Over the past 25 years, together with our team, we've built a successful facial plastic surgery practice and have helped so many women who struggle with so many things. Come hang out with us as we share our secrets on all the things. Let's do this. Happy Monday night.
Happy Monday night.
Well, actually, by the time this comes out, it's Wednesday.
Yeah.
But it's Monday for us.
Yeah. So what's tonight's topic?
We are talking tonight about body image.
Yeah.
And raising teenage girls. However, with that being said, we were just discussing body image does not discriminate.
No, it doesn't discriminate. I think that, well, first of all, as a professional, I know a lot about body image. I mean, that's what I do for a living. But also as a father of a boy and girls. But, you know, I see a lot of young women. But as a father of girls, I certainly have an opinion, you know, an opinion as a parent. And some of it's also basically influenced by my professional opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because obviously you're seeing patients.
Yeah, and it's important stuff. I mean, body image is, you know, having a negative body image can be very, very damaging. And some of the things people say can be very, very damaging. So I think that people need to be really, really sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm. So what I thought today, because of the topic and because of, you know, your line of work, that we would kind of work this podcast more as an interview, if you don't mind.
No, I mean, and
I'll
certainly
ask
have,
you questions.
Yeah,
and you give me your answers. And
I mean, there are things that I've thought about since you told me you wanted to do this. You know, reflecting, you know, stories that anecdotes and from patients of mine that
right.
I've seen and things that have happened over
and
the years. Plus, you know, deciding to understand this a little bit better as a professional. I've done some reading on it as well. So I can
and
share
we're
that.
And the parents of three girls.
Yeah.
So that are older now. So we've gone through the adolescence years, the teenage years, the young adult years of raising.
Yeah, and I'm sure my opinion now is different than it was 15 years ago because of that experience.
Right.
So
let's just back up to a second and just what is body image?
Well, your body image is what how you perceive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And feel. But I mean, as you know, I took care of children with vascular birthmarks, horrendous, less than horrendous facial birthmarks that had been disfigured. And so I did a lot of this work early on. So the first thing to know about body image is it really doesn't develop until someone's about 3 years of age. In other words,
actually quite young.
It is, but that's when people start to notice that they're different in a positive or negative way. For example, a lot of the treatments that we would do when we would remove some of these, if they were, you know, distorting the nose or, if you can check out what's called hemangioma or vascular malformation, they can be quite horrendous. But the treatment was really geared toward treating children before they became three, if you could.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the abnormality, because at about three, so for example, say they're at three, they're looking normal. They really will never know that they didn't look normal. So body image develops about age three. And so even kids like who have big ears, right, prominent ears, or these hemangiomas or disfiguring things, they will start to know at about three and a half that I look different. And So that's when body image really starts to develop, and then it goes on, you know, really for the rest of your life. However, there are formative years and very impressionable years up until adulthood. So, things that are said by society or things that are said by parents, can really make an impact or how people feel about themselves.
Right. So negative image in adolescence years, those causes can come about from natural weight gain,
mm-hmm.
but that could be perceived negatively by an adolescent not understanding the effects of puberty. You know, you may have, puberty sets in for girls younger than it does for boys. And for some girls, it can occur sooner. So if those, you know, do you think if you can have that discussion pre-puberty that you can help a young girl kind of experience that differently than by leaving it just open-ended?
Leaving as far as
the changes that will occur.
Of course, I do believe that. Yeah, having the discussion so that people are prepared. But I thought you were talking more about body image with not just puberty, but as you know, with obesity or something.
Yeah, no, not necessarily. And I think that's another great point to make because I think that a lot of people assume body image. I think now when people hear that, assume that it's weight related, and it's not.
No, it's not actually. For example, a child who starts to get ridiculed, picked on, comments
about. I mean, it could be for being too tall. It could be for being too short. Well, it could be for having to wear glasses, having to
actually
have some.
Any
you know,
comment can be damaging.
Right.
So, you know, there's.
I mean, when I was growing up and in school, wearing a headgear to school was not uncommon for kids.
Right.
It wasn't for all kids, but there were, you know, a handful of kids that you had to wear your headgear like all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's probably, I don't think that's something that you see now.
No, but it's not. But whatever the case may be, those comments are extremely damaging.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I was a big fan. I still quote her book all the time. Megan Meeker.
Yeah.
You remember it, right?
Yes.
Strong father, strong daughter. And
right.
When our daughters were, and I'll tell you why I'm telling this story. Our daughters were, you know, the 6 to 13 year age, especially Riley. I worried about her because of her, you know, her emotions, her sensitivity. So I remember reading in the New York Times about this author, and she wrote, she was being really applauded for all of her work with father-daughter relationships. And she wrote this article in the New York Times that basically said, you know, obviously mother-son relationships are important, and so are daughter-mother. But she basically was saying how really important a father-daughter relationship is for girls to develop. Now, I remember, and it goes into the book of, you know, why you should be a strong father, and not a weak father. And it's hard, as we know, to be a tough parent, right?
Right.
But one of the things that, comes out of that too, and it's not, I've had it on both sides. I've had women in my chair who are 35 or 40 years old, who literally break down and are sobbing because their father always made comments about their big nose.
Mm.
And, you know, he thought it was maybe affectionate, but it was extremely hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a woman about 2 weeks ago.
And there's probably even some of those comments that, you know, they are not intentionally negative any way.
No,
you know,
so
it could just be something, you know, I mean, I don't know exactly what someone would say, but it could be something that is they're thinking is somewhat, you know, like sarcastic or cute or whatever.
It may seem innocuous to father,
right,
or mom, but one should never, ever, ever make a negative comment about your daughters. And again, well, actually, I'm going to tell a story about that on the male side, but. Or, you know, especially, I mean, I've seen it with daughters. It is so damaging. And I think probably maybe because society puts such a strong emphasis on appearance in women.
Mm-hmm.
But I have seen, like I said, women who are just devastated. Now, I saw a woman 2 weeks ago that I did a facelift on. And she told me this story a year ago. And she told me again the other day So she had bariatric surgery. She lost a bunch of weight.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me the consult a year or so ago how her dad basically told her that, you know, she should marry the first guy that, you know, whatever, kisses her because she was so ugly or something like this, right?
Oh,
and I mean, broke down, sob, cry,
I'm
whatever.
Sure.
And I see her a year later, which was a couple weeks ago. And she told me the same story again.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a mom or a dad, don't ever do that. Don't ever make a negative comment about your son or daughter's body or appearance. You know, I remember, and
well,
you know,
I
these
think
are
too,
damaging.
You know, there's pieces of it that it's just raising the level of awareness of, we understand the effects of negative body image then turn into low self-esteem, and then the decision-making of young women who have low self-esteem can be really detrimental to their future.
So when do you – and I think as you look at body image, you know, how – because, you know, I do surgery, right?
Right.
So when do you intervene? When do you do things? I mean, there are certain things that are – and I think we should talk about these. There are certain things that are controllable,
mm-hmm.
and there are certain things that are not. And that's why – I mean, if you have a teenage daughter and you know, she's obese, I think it's a parent's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Because girls who are obese have a lower self-esteem, body image, more promiscuous, more likely to settle in life, statistically much higher incidence or rate of poverty, all of these things.
Right.
And a lot of that stems from self-esteem. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was our daughters, right, as they were growing up and, you know, where, you know, we only had one who worried a little bit about our weight, right? It's not a secret, but and I remember saying, you know,
not always.
No. She was an athlete in high school, but I remember once just saying, and you said something, and it was totally not intentional, but I said, you know, we never ever talk about the body. I mean, you can't ever make a comment about the body. And I remember once, when Riley came home, remember I told her like your cheeks looked full or something, and she was
really upset.
That was from college,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't, you know, I wasn't aware that she had gained weight really, and so, you know, if you have a daughter and she's 11 or 12 and she's looking like she's getting a little heavy, or 10 for that matter, it's not about their body; it's about eating healthy and taking care of her body. Versus, you know,
right. yeah. so,
your obesity,
you know,
and or
solutions
or
to that
your,
are
because I've heard
right.
parents, oh, all they do is eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, shame on you as a parent for having that in your house, for not taking the time, right?
Right.
Strong father, strong
well,
mother,
I think
strong
that's
daughter.
It too. Is you know the piece of the conversation that's tough is if you know your child may eat a whole bag of Doritos and Oreos and all these kinds of things, then don't buy it.
Don't have them in the house.
You can't have it in the house, period. And you have to talk about health versus being thin.
Or maybe perhaps, you know, we have one body. It's
right.
so important to take care of that body.
Yeah, and I think it all comes back to, which has kind of been our platform all along, every conversation we have always comes back to gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're coming from a place of gratitude that, you know, in moving your body and being physically active and all these things, that there are people lying in hospital beds receiving chemotherapy or in a wheelchair because they're paralyzed or whatever it may be, who can't move. They physically can't do it.
Right.
And then if you have someone else who can, but it's just hard because they are overweight or struggling with weight type issues. So they're not. Well, yeah, it is hard. But once you get on the other side of hard, it's no longer hard.
Right. So
developing the good habit.
The first thing there is prevention, you know,
right.
obviously. So, and that is something that is controllable. I mean.
And that has to come with the parent, the pediatrician, the child. Or
I think so. Those tough conversations need
yes.
to be had between the pediatrician and the parent, not with the kid there.
Especially
you know?
If you're very concerned about your child and
and how they're feeling about their body image to definitely have a conversation with your pediatrician without the child present.
Right.
So that you can really develop a plan.
A plan.
That's positive.
About taking care of their body, not necessarily the fact, you know, that you're fat or you're obese, right?
So I think some other things that need to be talked about in relation to that are social media. You know, monitoring the use of that with kids. I mean, we're just going through that right now with our son for other reasons. And it's not easy when all your friends have an iPhone.
Right.
Well, Android, whatever it is, but a smartphone. Yeah, yeah. And you have accessibility to all these things. You know, that's a whole nother discussion.
That's another whole. I mean, that's an entirely different discussion, you know. But
It could be a whole discussion on its own, but it definitely relates to the images that your kids are seeing on social media and the perception of what's being consumed and what's ideal. Mm-hmm. So what is being seen is unrealistic.
It is unrealistic. So, you know,
and when you're taking someone in all those formative years where they're developing all their perceptions, realities, judgments, well, and seeing things that are completely.
I mean, I can tell you that for people that I see on a regular basis that are adults and, you know,
it's like
people no longer have control of their photos, so they're seeing.
Right, it's the world. The world is being seen filtered.
It's being filtered. It's being, you know, the what I call the Facebook fake, right? I mean, people who have this wonderful everything, and you know, I think that's, you know how I feel about social media.
No, and it's a,
and
you know,
kids.
I think parents, if they saw what their kids were doing. Mine included, my children are not perfect. And we, like I said, just went through a round with our son and he's now blocked from everything.
Yeah. Well, as we know, and I don't want to get too far off on just the social media, because there's a lot more to talk to about, you know, but the executives and at, you know, the digital companies, Google, Facebook, a lot of these companies do not let their teenage kids have all of the technology that we have.
Right.
And the reason why they know, I mean, there's programs on
well,
you know, kids who have
and
ADHD.
Now to prove
and,
this.
Yeah, to prove it. So, and again, I don't want to get too sidetracked on it, but that is, I don't think social media is helping. That's my point.
No,
I think
and
it's,
there's a direct correlation between social media and now poor self-image and self-esteem. Which then leads, especially in girls, a higher rate of eating disorders and depression.
Right. So, a very, very important, you know, father, daughter, mother, daughter, son relationship. Don't make negative comments. It should be on the positive side. But you know, so when do, because I get questions all the time. Actually, I was interviewed by the press a few years ago. You know, when is it okay to alter their body? You know?
Right.
Think about that for a minute. I mean, when is it okay to fix their prominent ears? When is it okay to take the bump off their nose? I mean, why is that okay? And is it? And, you know, as someone who's a fairly conservative, takes a very fairly conservative approach to surgery and my approach to patients, I've thought that through over the years. And I certainly have my opinions on that.
Right.
So let's talk about the kid who has prominent ears and is, because ideally we fix them at about 4 or 5. The reason we fix them at 4 or 5 is because they're 80-90% of their adult size. They're not going to grow much more, so you can fix them. And really trying to prevent them, you know, when they're 7 and 8 and 9 year old ears, getting picked on, right? Calling Dumbo and all that other stuff. So, you know, is that okay? And my answer is, I based on my experience and my professional opinion, based on everything I've read and, and taking care of people, I do think that's a positive thing. Because here's the other thing about body image that most people don't realize. The younger you change it, the less rigid it is. For example, if I have a woman who is 45 years old and has a bump on her nose that she doesn't like and has always been self-conscious of, they have a real – I mean, in the beginning, when they take the splint off, it – it like really is like, have almost in disbelief, you know, because they have a well-established body image.
Right.
Whereas when you take care of that in a seven-year-old, it's less damaging to some degree than to have them get constantly picked on, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so, but in a nasal surgery, you wouldn't do something like that so young, would you?
No, well, the reason we don't do it in someone that young is because girls, boys, 16. Yeah. So girls reach their, you know, the ideal size time is about 16.
So I think you were kind 15. Of talking about the ears with the
No, that's what I said. I was talking about the ears because that's, but that's, so some of it is dependent on the anatomy, mm-hmm. and some of it is dependent on,
you know, and the psyche of your patient.
Right.
And where they're at as far as their thought process and how they're feeling and all those things. And that's one thing that I think that you're really good at is evaluating all areas of your patient.
Yeah, I mean, why are you doing this?
Right.
Why are you doing
you're really
it?
Making
I mean,
sure that.
The healthy answer for me is, again, say mm-hmm. because girls.
We went through it with our daughter.
Yeah, right.
She's, you know. Super athlete, doing all the things, broke her nose a gajillion times, and, you know, beautiful girl. And every time she broke her nose, it was, you know, getting wider. And obviously for us, she's beautiful, gorgeous, right. and she is, but it was really becoming something that was really bothering her.
No, and it was. And but the reason I really wanted to wait until she was 18 because
then
she was done with sports. I remember once, so I had a young woman. She was her nose was very crooked, and she wanted her nose fixed, but she was a D1 gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think too back to this,
you know, I said to her, "Look, you got to wait till you're done,
right.
you know, falling
right.
off of bars and stuff."
Yes.
And she came to me about 5 years later when she was a medical student, believe mm-hmm. it or not. She was in Worcester, Mass. And then she had her nose fixed. So, but I think that, you know, why is it okay to alter someone's body? Maybe they – shouldn't they just accept their nose? And
I mean, this is
a tough thing. But I have to tell you, you know, when you see these beautiful young women – 15 or 16, you know, girls, women, right, that really their nose doesn't help them out at all, and they've had comments made to them, it does affect their self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see that something like that that can take an hour and a half makes such an impact in the way
confidence.
They feel and their confidence,
right.
and I, you know, over many, 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 many years of doing it, I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, where I have a problem because I don't do the surgery. I don't do breast augment, right?
Right.
But, you know, I thought about this. I was interviewed a few years ago by the press, and they said, well, you know, we talked about body image, and we talked about when do you do these things. And they said, well, what if your daughter at the age of 17 or 18 wanted a breast augment? What would you say? And do you know what my answer would be?
Do I know what your answer would be? Well, first you would say no. And you would want them to make that decision. I think that your answer would be you would want them to make that decision after they had children and they was something that they would probably pay for themselves.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. I mean, you're going to buy that one. I'm not paying for that. I'm not paying to put, give my daughter a breast aug. I'm just not. I'm not that guy. You know, and I think part of it too is, you know, that's a very, very, very mature decision. And that has to do with, you know, sexuality and those kind of things. And I think that, you know.
Well, there's definitely a difference between body plastics versus facial plastics in some procedures.
In some procedures. But,
I believe.
Yeah. But I, you know, we, I understand it. I understand why a young, you know, a 16 or an 18-year-old would want a breast aug.
Right.
But as a parent,
mm-hmm.
I would not pay for that. I would, part of that is I want them to wait until they're 23 or 4 and they've mm-hmm. got judgment, adult judgment. Because
well,
as
a mom and as a woman who's had children,
yeah.
I would say you need to wait until after you've had babies to see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
Because that anatomy changes.
So let me ask you, how do you feel? Because I have my opinion. 18 or 19 year old who wants to have liposuction.
Well, first of all, my opinion on all plastic surgery, regardless of what it is, what age, and all those things, is it's something very personal. And that's, you know, when you're asking someone else, how does that make you feel? I can only say how it makes me feel from my standpoint. So if you're asking me how I would feel if it were my child, that's different because it's my child.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same sense, I have to look at my child as they're being in their own individual too.
Right.
So I have to take that into consideration in their thoughts and feelings. You know, somebody else who's an adult, I mean, go ahead and ask me the question, but I'm just telling you how I feel about it. And I think it's something that's very personal. So for me to answer that, it almost seems like casting judgment somehow. And I'm not doing that.
No.
It's not my place.
No,
because it is something very personal.
Yeah. And yeah, it is. And that's a tough question. That's a tough question. Because I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I don't know how I feel about it.
I just think it's something very personal because you don't know how somebody feels when if somebody gets to the point that they feel they need to seek out something medically, they've been thinking about it for a long time.
Right.
And you know that. The mm-hmm. research has proven that.
Right.
And you know that from seeing your patients. Mm-hmm. They'll come in and they'll say, I've been thinking about this for 5 years. I've been mm-hmm. thinking about, you know, if you have someone who's 45 and it's a nose, they've mm-hmm. been thinking about it since they were 16.
Yeah.
So.
Or someone who's 17 has been thinking about it since they were 13.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's a very long time to have yeah. someone think about it. And truthfully, 13 to 17 and those years, I mean, think about when you were a kid and when you were 13 years old to 17 years old, whether it was...
Yeah, it seemed like 100 years.
Oh my gosh, it seems like forever.
Right.
And it's not,
no.
But it seems like it is.
Right.
So, and you know, I think too that if all the other pieces of someone's life at that age are in place and it's like this one thing, and you know that one thing, it ends up being life-changing. And no, we've so seen it over and over again. Right. So
doing it for the right reasons, doing it for themselves, you know, those kind of things.
That's my thoughts and feelings about plastic surgery in general. Right. And it can be difficult sometimes because of the body image aspect of it, it can be perceived as something negative because there is the flip side of it when you're teaching your child that to love themselves. So, you know, self-love and love your body and all these things, but then there's something that they want to change. And I always look at braces for a perfect example.
Right.
I mean, most kids today have some form of appliance in their mouth when they are 7, 8, 9, 10 into their teenage years to make their teeth straight.
Right. So why is it any different, right?
And I mean, obviously it's something that's very different, but we're now putting a acceptance on what's okay versus maybe what someone thinks judging is over the top. Right.
So I think as a general, generalization, it's very, very important for a parent not to make comments. If your child comes to you and
I think if your child comes to you, that's amazing.
Right.
Because when your child comes to you, it means that they've thought about something, they trust you, they want to have a conversation, it opens up the door to have a conversation, they feel safe, and you can guide them in a positive way to really help them with their thoughts and their feelings and implement things that actually aren't that difficult and can be fun. So if it's changing the thought process of around health, you know, maybe it's the eating habits that need to change. I mean, most of all of these things are habitual habits that lead into the negativity, right?
Right.
I mean, you can look at all things in life that way. If it's, you know, bad habits, it's going to lead to bad thoughts, and then it leads to guilt, and then it's like a vicious cycle around. So you can create, you know, like family cooking night, and everybody comes with a different recipe or something like that. We did that once with the family. That was a lot of fun. You know, different activities like that are centered around health now instead of something that, you know, isn't going to benefit them in the long run.
Right.
And that creates a healthy habit.
Yeah.
The preparation.
So what are the, I knew you had a couple more questions because we're running out of time here.
Okay. Let's see here. What else do I have on my little list? I think we really.
So it was a couple of generalizations. You know, don't ever make derogatory or negative comments about your kids. And I've seen too many really good people with good intentions make damaging comments to their kids and don't even realize how damaging it is. So,
and I think too, as parents, and I have failed, I'm certainly not perfect at this because I've been on, I don't know if I really call them diets, but changed, you know, eating and whatever, but there have been, there hasn't been a lot of times in my life I've been struggle with weight. If I've struggled with weight, it's like 10 pounds that makes me crazy.
Right.
And, you know, really when you think about it, that's kind of, that's just the nature of the beast, right? As you get older.
Right.
I don't know if, you know, am I ever going to go backwards? I don't know. You know,
no, but I think you, you're very intentional about it. And that,
but I did realize when, you hear me talk about this all the time, we were overnight with my sister once and we were camping and we had to go to the showers. So I was with Riley and we went off to the showers and maybe she was seven. I don't even remember how old she was. And if I carry any weight, I get a little bit in my tummy and probably my rear end and my legs. I think that's pretty typical of women to carry weight in those areas. And just a little bit like the pinch an inch from back in the day with the Kellogg's commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you pinch an inch? And I could pinch an inch. And I, when I was getting ready to get in the shower, I just kind of grabbed that. I was like, "Urgh!" And, you know, she was like, "Mommy, is that your angry stuff?" I was like, "What?" And she's like, "Your angry stuff." And then she grabbed it and she pinched.
Yeah.
And it just, I just kind of stopped and said to myself, "Oh, geez, that's so not good."
Yeah.
That here my child is, you know, she's been watching this and kids watch and they learn. So, you know, that is something that I carry a little bit of guilt about over the years when I know that the girls have seen me, you know, hopping on the scale, measuring myself. So,
yeah, but that's also reality.
I guess it is real. You know, there's pieces of it that if I didn't pay attention to that, my body type would go. Yeah, my body type would. I do have the body type that I would just gain weight.
Right.
Period.
Right. You would.
So I, you know, for years and years and years, I would have people like, "Oh my gosh, you're so tiny. You're so thin. You're so lucky." Or I'd get that a lot. Like, "Oh, you're so lucky." I'm like, "Lucky? Are you kidding me?" I like work out like a beast. I have to watch everything that goes in my mouth.
So that brings up a good point. You know, I think it's also important just because I've heard women who've said to me, you know, people make a comment that they're too skinny. That's hurtful. People don't realize that. It's very hurtful when you tell someone who is maybe fit, you might consider them too skinny and they may actually just be fit.
Right. Yeah.
And you tell a woman, "Oh, you're too thin," or someone who's too tall
by
or too
whose
short.
Standards?
I know. By whose standards? Yeah, I know.
You know, there's all of that too. By whose standards? If I'm out doing all the things that I know I should be doing, and the past few years I haven't exercised like I normally have because I had a case of mono, and, you know, there are things like that too in people's lives. Medication, diagnosis of different, you know, autoimmune disease, whatever it might be that you're battling, and that can cause additional weight gain, and you might have to modify different foods you're eating and whatever. But there were times that I would get that. And I would think, well, I'm not, I don't know. I consider myself lucky because I can move. I'm not in a bed. So compared to what? Compared to, you know, if someone's saying that to you, they're probably not doing all the things.
No, but I think that I've just seen people who are, you know, medium plus in weight make comments about people who are thin.
And they will say that, "Oh, they're just too skinny. They need to get some meat on their bones,"
and it's
or whatever
hurtful,
it might be.
Right?
Yeah.
It's hurtful.
Because
we had, you know, I don't know, but, you know, one of our daughter's boyfriends at one point, somebody made some comment their friends made some comment about him, you know, putting meat on his bones, and that really bothered him a lot.
Right, yeah.
You know, and, it, you know, so don't make those comments to people. I don't care who you are. It's really not fair to do that. It's very, very damaging.
Well, I think, too, you know, you should kind of find out just – like, oh my gosh, what do you do for a workout? You know, and when you find out what people do, it's probably shocking to learn how people have to, and it's knowing your body. So mm-hmm. I know my body, and I know what I have to stay away from as far as food. Mm-hmm. Sugar is the enemy to me. I can't have a lot of carbs. It's like I know exactly what I have to do. I know exactly the workouts I have to do all the things. So, you know, I'm kind of
hoping
heading into my 50s that I can, you know, get it all under wraps. But I have also realized when I really pay attention to it, at the end of every decade, this is what's happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am at the, you know, I'm turning 49 this year. So I'm kind of right on target. And hopefully once I cross over to the 50 mark, then it'll what's happened.
So let's wrap it up.
Happens.
We're getting, you know, getting on in time.
So I always like to leave everything with just like a little positive thought.
Right.
And in this arena, I guess some things that I came up with that are the most positive that I think that can help families, women, young girls through the process of puberty, even aging, where I'm at now, heading into 50s, menopause, all those things and changes are pretty basic and simple. Team up with your family doctor, team up with good professionals, mentors, whether it's, you know, someone in the fitness world, nutritionist, things like that. And now too, with apps, you can do it all from home. It's not anything that has to be overly expensive to figure out for yourself. Develop healthy eating habits. Praise and achievement's huge. Everyone likes to be acknowledged, right? So if you're dealing with a child, when they hit a milestone of some sort, you give them praise. And if it's for yourself, if you're listening to this and it's you and you're going through something and you know, you do have a goal to either lose a certain amount of weight or fit into a pair of jeans that have been in your closet or whatever it is. I'm trying harder to stay away from the scale and just monitor how I feel in my clothes. It's not easy to do, but it is a good guide.
Yeah. That's my guide, basically.
Yeah, if you're feeling good in your clothes, I mean,
that's face all that it, matters.
Like I have a couple pair of pants that I wish I could wear right now. And actually, I can wear them, but when I sit down in the car, I have something hanging over the side. That doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I put those in the back, and when I pull out a new pair, you know, pull them out a few weeks later and it works, then you have to give yourself praise for that. Positive, you know, friendship. So making sure that you have people in your life that are positive and people in your life that are negative, that are robbing your joy or takers or whatever it is, you might have to just bless and release them. Say goodbye.
Free them.
Yeah. And set good examples. So even, and that can be to yourself too, right? So I know sometimes when, you know, if I want to treat myself, I'll treat myself and you can't feel guilty about it. And then there's other days where I know that I just need to stay the course. And so you just have to do that for yourself.
And as far as, you know, just body image.
To your children too.
Right. So wrapping it up, you know, I think there are a lot of good points. But it's really important not to judge other people. And if you do, keep your comments to yourself, whether it's a male or a female, especially if it's one of your children, because that will, I can tell you from professional experience, I've seen people decades later who are still very emotional over comments made to them by their parents. So hope you guys got something out of this.
Yes. And thank you so much.
Thanks for watching.
Listening. And we've gotten some nice feedback from our previous episodes. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And share with others.
Yeah.
If you can.
If you
subscribe.
Yes, and if you could please leave us a review, that would be amazing.
Or if you want some questions answered in the future.
Yeah, you can always contact us via social media, on all platforms. You can find me at Miss Sherry Williams on Instagram, sherrywilliams.org, or on Facebook, Sherry Williams.
Have a good night.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, everyone. That was so much fun. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the episode of the Secrets Podcast today, please consider subscribing on iTunes and sharing it with your friends. As newbies in the podcasting world, we promise to do the best we can every single week and then do better. And we appreciate your support as we navigate the joys of the world of technology. Hey, I have a great idea. Let's stay in touch. You can find me on Instagram at Ms. Sherry Williams, Facebook, Sherry Williams, and online at sherrywilliams.org. And you know what? Head over there and receive my 5 top tips on anti-aging and feeling refreshed and rejuvenated every single day. And remember, it's absolutely all right to be bold, be beautiful, because that's being you. Until next time, XOXO, Sherry.